This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Is this your second time in a library?
In my life, yes.
Yeah.
That's not connected to a school, yes.
If it's a school library doesn't count because they make you go to that. It's okay. Like a class.
Yeah. Yeah. As an independent entity, yes.
Second time going to a library. And it's very fitting because we're going to get to that on today's show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure. I have our producer, Tony Gill, here.
So
Russ Dorsey couldn't make it. And in fact, really none of us could make it this week. That's why we're putting together a clip show for Thanksgiving. It is going to be good, though. Because like sometimes when I hear there's going to be a clip show, I'm like, I roll my eyes. And I kind of did that when we first were planning to do this. But then I started listening to some of the clips and like there's some funny stuff that we're going to get to on here with, Billy Gill explaining what he would do in certain situations. Russ is 2 weeks in lockdown before he went back enjoying life during the pandemic.
Could not control himself.
Russ couldn't be here specifically today because he is, and we should definitely make sure people know this, He's giving away turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he is a very loving and giving person.
He's just out there.
And is volunteering his time.
Just giving out meat, turkey meat, just slinging turkeys.
So ladies, if he's a very giving person, he's volunteering his time.
Right. With turkeys. He's out doing a good thing today. He's out doing a good thing today. There's a lot of good things about Russ that we just tend not to cover on this show.
You got to find that out in person.
Sports Adjacent is brought to you by BetUS. Visit betus.com.pa and you can bet on the NFL, NBA, college football and basketball, hockey. They've got all kinds of futures, casino games, horse racing, all that stuff. And here's a good deal for you. You can use promo code SPORTSADJACENT, all one word, for a 125% sign-up bonus. That means you start your account with $100 and they will kick you an extra $25. So go to betus.com.pa. You can also follow them on Twitter at betus_official. Tony, I love that we're in a library to do this. I'm not sure really how we ended up in a library because I told you for like a week that I was going to come down to your house to do this. And then I think you made up like a fake excuse so that I wouldn't come to your house. I'm not sure why.
There's a lot of things going on in my house right now. A lot of things.
Well, your aunt died, which we heard.
Yes. We've heard my about. Aunt did die.
Yeah. 3 months
ago. If you guys didn't know, still. My sister and sister-in-law are getting their hair done right in the middle of the house.
Okay.
There's a screaming baby, right? Just the ambiance of that.
These are all good reasons.
Two lively barking dogs and construction.
Going I was going to say the original lie you told me was construction.
Yeah.
Those first three things didn't sound like
construction. Is happening. I didn't know the other things were happening as well. They're usually all sleeping. Right. If we did it early, and that's what I kind of planned to. Mm-hmm. But then my dad was like, we need to fix our ceiling.
Okay.
And our roof and our window seals.
How is the baby, by the way? Your nephew? Like, how much have you been involved with? Is he going by Eli? Or
we're still figuring that part out. Okay. Some people call him Eli. Some people use his whole name, Elijah. My mom has shortened it to Ja.
Okay.
Like Ja Morant. Okay. And I'm starting to like that because I do like Ja Morant.
Is his name short for Elijah?
Oh, no. It's short for something else.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, your contributions to this, yes, to the first few weeks of this baby's life, I believe 2 weeks now at this point. Your contribution has been what?
I changed him one time.
Okay.
That was a thing. You know, babies are weird, right? It's like, yes, they cry when they mess themselves, right?
Right.
But then he cries when you change him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm doing you a favor.
But it's cold. That's what they don't like.
Oh, suck it up, kid. Like, the world is cold.
Good advice from Uncle Tony. We're in the beautiful Gail Borden Library in Elgin, Illinois, on, yes, the Fox River.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care at all about that. You have no appreciation. I've taken you now to two very good libraries. The Washington Library downtown, mm-hmm, is a beautiful historic building.
Mm-hmm.
This library is not historic by any means, but it's really nice.
I mean,
and you're just like, unless there was an Xbox here, you don't care.
I mean, if people have things to do, why would one of those things be come to a library in their free time? Like, who would willingly want to come for fun?
A lot of people, because they want to read books. I mean, you don't read for enjoyment. That's
no,
a problem. That's why you would not find a library enjoyable. There's all kinds of other resources here. There's media. There's like music, movies. There's activities. They have classes at the library. They have live music performances at this library. I'm not sure if the, yeah, okay, all right, never mind. I don't know why I am continuing to talk about this. Anyway, so that is a good lead into our first clip that we're going to play, and this is going to be from one of our very early episodes, Tony. I think episode 2, yeah, where you revealed the shocking fact that you had never been in a library other than at elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Never, not one time.
This is only going to like exasperate what you think the age gap is between us. But do you want to know how I rent movies?
I want to say no, but tell me.
I get them from the library.
No,
it's like
don't.
It's like a poor man's Netflix, or like what Netflix used to be. You can go on the local library will get new movies like right away when they come out, and you can go on and you can reserve them, and they send you an email when it's ready, and you just drive down and pick it up, and you have it for like a week. On DVD.
That is one of the oldest things I've heard. Like,
yeah, that was the oldest thing. you did that whole little speech about how you wasn't that much older than me, and then you just turned yourself 75 years old. Congrats.
It's free. It's free. Where's the hole in this plan? It's great. Other than you have to drive there. That part. But the library's not that far away.
I haven't stepped in a library, right, and I don't want to admit this, in a long time, bro.
You don't like books? Or do you
I've
just
never been
them?
To a library ever in my life.
You've never been to a library in your life. That's
now, hold
true.
Up, Tony.
That's
I'm gonna, we're gonna come back to that after I keep making fun of Jason. So I haven't used a library card in a good like 13 years. Like I'm, and the one reason I won't make fun of you is because you have young daughters who are really interested in things.
That's not the reason, though. That's not the reason. I got to, you know, I'm being honest. That's not the reason.
You should have let me shoot you bail because
it's not the reason.
Yeah, I'm going to the move.
I get a lot of stuff at the library. I definitely get.
What else are they renting at the library? I'm
music. All new music is available right away at the library. Yeah, we have a good library. It's on a CD, which works in my car.
Stop. Tony, I'm coming back to Tony. Tony, why have you never... Oh, my God. He's got his own CD. Why have you never been to the library, Tony?
I've never needed to.
What does that even mean? Tony. Did you just know everything?
Well, by the time I was coming of age to want to get knowledge myself, the internet was there. So,
nah, Tony, hold on. All right, so Tony is a year older than me, everybody. So in the early thousands, Tony, we used to have book reports, and it was before the internet was as good as it is now. And you have to like look up an encyclopedia, or you have a book that you have to get that you couldn't get in school. So how would you do stuff?
So I gamed the system, actually, when it was time for book reports. Was I
read the back page.
I ripped out five books. Read all five books, fairly easy books, that I got from school in the school library. And I just rotated on the book reports.
I don't know if I'm mad.
That's a library. You went to a library.
That's a school library, though. That's not a.
So you've never had a library card in your life?
I have. Never use it.
Tony is the best.
Man. So you're so like defiant and proud of this. Like,
yes.
I would say that the sentence "I've never been in a library" is not something you want people to know, and you're like,
that's fine. Yeah.
You're like thrilled with yourself about this.
Yes, because I feel like a lot of people lie. I feel like a lot of people haven't been to a library.
Wait a minute, Tony. Hold on. You've been to the library before because you got the library card.
No, they do the sign up at the school. I've never physically walked into any building that was designated.
This is amazing. So,
like, if I took you to like Chicago Public Library downtown, it's a beautiful building and it's got like three stories.
They have gargoyles on the side.
Yeah. And they've got the Winter Garden atrium up on top. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So if I took you to this place, you just would be like amazed by it. You would be stunned by it.
No, this is really boring. What am I doing here? I got audio.
You just would be walking around this beautiful library, just watching TikTok videos on your phone.
Yeah.
TikTok videos. It's TikTok, sir. Come on. Yeah. This is why you listen to music at the library.
No. You don't listen to it at the library. You check it out. I check out cookbooks. I check out all kinds of stuff at the library. The library is cool. The library is like the internet, but in person.
I want you to remember this conversation, and never in your life can you get upset with me for calling you old ever again.
So the great thing about this is that once we found out that Tony had not ever been to a library, there was time in between episode 2 and episode 3 for us to get together and him to go to a library for the first time. And what you're about to hear next is his recap of that experience.
So our young friend, Tony Gill, made his first trip to the library. Like, you guys documented it. I saw the footage. Tell me, Tony Gill, what that experience was like for you to step foot into a library.
Well, Russ Dorsey, as you know, my famous proclamation about libraries went completely viral over the weekend. A lot of engagement, you know, a lot of input into the library, something that I didn't see before. I didn't see a lot of tweets and messages about, oh, man, I'm going to the library. Oh, man, you going to the library? I'm just saying. Nobody.
We have on Twitter right now, we've got 2/3 of our show. We've got Russ clamoring for attention for having gone to ORU. And we've got Tony clamoring for attention for his willful ignorance and his refusal to ever go to a library.
There's way more clamoring for Tony from Tony.
Proud day for you two.
Hey, I'm just saying, nobody was talking about libraries until I started talking about libraries. So, hey, I'm just putting it out there. So,
Russ, it was not good. It was not good. This was not a life-changing or opinion-changing event for Tony.
Yeah, I want to hear why it wasn't from Tony, and then we'll get to you.
Yeah. What I found out and what I told Jason once we left, the biggest thing that I learned going to the library was this is an excellent place for naps. Like,
You're hearing this, right?
You know, I'm hearing it.
when I was grinding it out in my earlier career, you know, trying to, I would sleep wherever I could, basically.
Right.
You know, just to pick up naps. Yeah, libraries are really dope to take naps. I mean, there's a lot of space in there. It's quiet. Like, I was in a safe space, you know, like I didn't feel like I was gonna get robbed or anything. So that was like, that realization like made me mad a little bit, but I got over it after a while. So yeah, all the stuff there, like we looked at a map or something. We pulled out a map of Florida and we watched that or looked at that. But the map was in what, from 1995 or something. So none of that stuff existed anymore anyway. But yeah, I mean, they hired a lot of black people, so that was cool.
We were getting desperate, Tony, on the tour.
Wait a minute. So there are a couple things, Tony. Like, one, I'm glad that they are hiring black people at the library. That makes me happy. Two, I think you missed entirely the attraction and draw for libraries, which are books. Like, you jumped to a whole bunch of stuff and book never came out your mouth.
Well, no, Russ, he got excited about one area where he found comic books, but then he immediately complained that these comic books were too old.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I might as well just go to the comic book store and get the new ones. I did get excited about the one section. It was like a cross between sports all on one side and sex on the other side. So that section seemed very interesting. Like, why was that placed together? What
cool? I just left them there and came back like a half hour later.
I'm not gonna do it. Nope, we're not gonna do that. So Tony, you were getting your thrills in the sex/sports section, while Jason, you did what?
I just was wandering around. This tour went off the rails pretty quickly, Russ, where you're trying to show him all the good things about the library that everybody knows, even my children know. And Tony is just not impressed. He's on his phone. I did think this was my fault going to the map area, because I thought, you know, we're getting desperate here. We got to get his attention. He says there's a map room on the fifth floor. I'm like, who doesn't love maps? Maps are awesome. Everybody likes maps. And, you know, you can't get maps like this on your phone. We went to find maps, and we couldn't find things we were looking for because these maps were from 1994, which was a little bit of a problem.
So a couple things. 1994 is the year I was born. Two.
Also the year those maps were born.
To why, of all the places in the library, why the map section?
Exactly? Russ, I tried everything by that point. We went through the music section. We went through the science section. We went through great literary works, reference books. I mean, you could go into the library and come out as a lawyer/doctor/cartographer if you wanted to. And none of that impressed Tony whatsoever. And finally, I just as a last gasp, I was like, let's look at the maps. Let's go to the map room. I mean, a map room sounds cool.
It did not pan out.
No, it
doesn't. How long was the total experience at the library for young Mr. Tony Gill?
Oh, how long were you there, Jason? What, 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
y'all didn't give it an hour.
We were there for at least an hour and a half.
Nobody stays in the library for an
hour and a half.
Tony,
hour and a half, right. 2 hours, Russ, is the answer.
So I'm assuming the truth is somewhere in the middle. So let's say 45 minutes you guys spent.
What are you talking about? The truth is somewhere in the middle.
Tony saying y'all was in there for 20 minutes. You saying
Tony
an hour
has
and
no
half.
Credibility. Tony has no credibility
in there for an hour.
No, we were in there for an hour and a half to 2 hours. No, there's no splitting in the middle between what I say and what Tony Gill says.
I'm going to say 45 minutes. So in that 45 minutes, I've heard Tony say the only thing that he enjoyed was the sports sex section where he was getting his thrills off while you walked around aimlessly in the library. But is that all, Tony? Is that all you got from this trip other than this is where Jason Leisure spends his time?
I recognize that another reason why I won't be frequenting the library, where the single ladies at, man? Like, come on. You guys are trying to
interest. Didn't come up the other day. I didn't know that's why you were there.
I mean, I was even. I'm like, all right.
Well, you need a college. That's what a college library is.
If this is the spot, right, it's got to be some women here, right? No.
Infinite knowledge and education, that's all.
All right, Tony, this is where we make our money here, because now we're getting somewhere. So Tony was, you should have gone to the library with me and not Jason, who's hasn't been on a date in how long, Jason?
Oh man, 20 years, 15 years. I don't know. I've been married for a long time.
Come on, Tony.
I didn't realize this is the first I'm hearing of it, Russ, that I was expected to be some kind of wingman for him.
I mean, if it came down
to the library, at the library.
You have a wonderful union with your lovely wife, Ashley, but Tony should have called me for this one. Like, we could have been.
Oh, you should have called anybody else. And also, Russ, I'd love to see you get that call of, oh, hey, Russ, it's Tony. Can you come to the library and be my wingman?
Nah, it wouldn't go. Tony would say, he'd shoot me a text, be like, yo, we at the library? Yeah. And it wouldn't have, we don't have to say nothing else. Like, we'd be on the same wavelength. Like,
there was a 0% chance you would have gone along with that.
Nobody texts that. Nobody texts that. Hey, we down at the library? Like, nobody texts that.
Listen, bro. Tony, I'm trying to shoot you bail here because.
No, don't help him out.
No, the fact that that's
an untenable position. That's the
only, that's the only reason. It's the only reason he wanted to go to the library was to pick up women.
Well, you're smart. Well, that's your premise is off because he did not want to go to the library. He thought I was kidding. Yeah. Me and Tony went out for breakfast and I said, we're going to the library afterward. And I think he was sure I was joking.
I'm all right. I think this was a failure on your part, Mr. Leisure, for not doing a better job introducing him to the library. And Tony, you got to come in with a better mindset than I'm just going to pick up shorties at the library. You got to. Come willing, you got to want to learn something.
That's what YouTube's for. That's what Google's for. That's what audiobooks are for. I don't need to physically leave my house, go to another building to do the same exact stuff I can do on my computer.
Russ, do you want to know his other big takeaway from this other than, hey, the library would have been a great place to sleep during the day?
Yes, please.
He, on our way out, he said that even if he liked the library, he would never look into any of these things because getting all this information would make his takes less interesting. It's the uninformed aspect of his takes. It's the lack of knowledge that makes him so interesting.
So he likes the idea of the ignorance factor.
Again, yeah. Willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
That makes his take so spicy. And therefore, he doesn't want to learn.
He's just right now. I mean, I know this is not a visual medium. I know this is a podcast, but if you guys could see him, he's just sitting back so proudly. He's so pleased with himself about his allergy to knowledge.
Yeah, Tony, like he's made it this far. Like, first of all, in Tony's defense, he's gotten pretty far in life being Tony Gill. So I'm gonna give him credit for that. He's gotten pretty far in life, not going to the library, not reading books, and getting hot takes off. Like that's what people
know him for. See, I think here's where the disconnect is between us and everybody that was getting at me on Twitter about it. Why are we associating intelligence and reading and books to the library directly? Like that's the only source where you can receive knowledge and information. Like that's not true. Like stop doing that. We shouldn't do that because that's not factual. Like I can gain knowledge in information and increase my intelligence outside of the library. Like
why are you doing this? Why are you mispronouncing the word intelligence? What are you doing?
Intelligence?
I think part of the reason, Tony, is I don't think they were upset that you didn't go there to receive knowledge. I think they were upset that the fact that you had never in 27 years of life stepped foot into a library. Yeah. 28 years of life stepped foot into a library.
Yeah. God's good. God is good, man.
Okay. All the time and all the time. God is good. Listen, I'm glad.
I'm so disappointed. I mean, this is one of my closest friends. I'm so disappointed.
Good old libraries. Great places to sleep in, I found out. That was good.
Yeah, and really? To look at maps from 30 years ago.
Yeah. Then I still don't know why we were doing that. It was a nice place that I saw people sleeping, and I was like, I could have used this like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and our next clip is one of my personal favorites. We discuss superpowers and which ones would we want. And I wanted something very specific that I think would have been an improvement on my life. Really an improvement to any person's life. What do you think, Jason?
You're just going to have to listen to it.
So when you're on the road, you kind of like you're looking for things to do, especially right now when we can't necessarily go out like I normally would when I'm on the road. So, right. You know, grab some food on the off day and sit. Been doing different things. The beautiful running trails in Pittsburgh, running the bridges. It's awesome along the river. Grabbed some food, came back to the hotel and turned on Disney Plus, one of the many streaming services out there.
and was going through some of Marvel's, you know, recent releases and past releases, trying to find something to watch.
Like the movies or the shows?
Both. They have both of them. Okay. There.
So you're going back through the Avengers and
stuff. Yeah, the whole catalog. Okay. All right, whole catalog. You. And so it got me to thinking, and this is a normal question, but I haven't gotten to ask you guys. If you had a superhuman ability or superpower, some might say, what would you choose and why?
That's a tough one, man. What was yours? Let me think about it while you tell yours.
I have two. The ability to read people's minds.
Okay.
And be able to fly, because I hate how much time travel takes.
Okay.
So the reason I'd want to read people's minds is sometimes, like, that's, let's circle back to Tony's date. If Tony,
I'm sure Tony will love this.
If Tony could read that young lady's mind, he'd know how to better handle that situation, maybe make a joke that she thought was funny, or things that were on, he could see what's on her mind that she thought was were funny. And then you could approach it in a different way. Or if you're in danger and you don't know, there's so many situations in life where some pops off and you don't know about it. Maybe you can read the minds of the people who are, you know, close to you, and maybe you can see that before it happens. All those different things and reasons. I think reading people's minds would be cool, and just knowing how people think.
I think none of my superpower desires would be that dramatic. I think, like, for a superpower, I would just want to be 6'1". I would take that.
All right.
Or if I didn't have to shave, if I could retract my beard like Wolverine retracts his claws or something like that, that'd be great. Or if I could do the same with my hair. Like, if I could grow my hair and all of a sudden, like, you know, how the Hulk turns green, I just suddenly grow hair like Patrick Finley's, where it looks really good.
That's a cop out. I'm not going to let you do that. You need to.
One of those would be really good, man. Any of those would be really helpful.
So you wouldn't want to pick up cars or have super speed or laser vision like Cyclops or anything?
I guess I would, but I'd probably be satisfied with just being 6'1". That'd be good enough for me. I'd be like, oh, this is a good power.
Tony, save the segment, please.
Enlarge any part of my body.
Oh my God. Tony Gill.
Yes.
Tony. You took this where this needed to go, but bro, of all the things, that's the wildest superpower I've heard anybody want to have. I'm not gonna ask you why on that one, like I asked Jason. But
no,
Tony. I, unlike yourself, I am scared to get fired. And what is said on this platform, you know, could be held against Jason and I. So I appreciate you participating, but I'm not gonna ask you why you would like to enlarge any part of your body as a superpower.
I can grow to be 6'1". What are you talking about?
Yeah, I guess you could do that. I guess you could do that too.
You guys wouldn't want that superpower, though?
You know exactly what he was doing.
Don't you already have that superpower?
Cute. I'm not doing this with y'all today. Oh, my God. Oh. Yo.
Ah, yes. I would still like that superpower.
I'm sure you would, man. I'm sure you would.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of those where it's like, that was really funny, but I also, that was one of the ones I kind of held my breath on of like, how much trouble are we going to get into this?
We gotta keep pushing the line, man. And we people DM me, oh, when are you guys gonna put the show on YouTube, or when are you guys gonna do a live show? And I'm like, guys, this show needs to be edited. It has to be.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Like, we can never do a live show unless it's like in person, where we take everybody, we do like the Chappelle thing, take everybody's phone.
Yes.
Like, look, I'm down to do it, but you guys gotta convince Jason and Russ. For us to like do a Patreon where you pay for that type of content.
Well, the difference, weirdly, it's not that Russ and I have jobs and you don't. You also have a job.
I do.
You just don't seem to really care what happens with that, or either that, or you just don't believe anything can happen with that. And Russ and I know very well that something can happen very quickly with our jobs. Speaking of jobs, Russ was flying around the country covering baseball during this next segment and had a very weird experience on a plane. And we also find out what Tony would do, or more accurately, not do in the same situation.
So this is city number 5 on our sports adjacent tour, with this stop being in Atlanta, where I'm currently recording from.
Well, only for you. It's a tour only for you.
Well, yeah, but
me and Tony just sit at our house all the time, like everyone else during the pandemic.
I'm trying to take the podcast national. So
yes,
we're in
Rust Roadshow.
Currently in Atlanta, Georgia, when you're listening to this, and I fly in yesterday being Sunday, recording this on a Monday, and it's a normal flight, like, all right, expecting it to be a normal flight, you know, had my boarding, I get on, had like the early boarding, so like there's nobody on the plane when I get on, I'm like, it's great, sit down, put my stuff away, grab my headphones. Then people start coming on, and more people start coming on, and then you get that lovely announcement that nobody wants to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be a full flight. And I'm just like, damn it. I was hoping I'd have a not full flight down the road.
Is it actually a full flight? Are they like every seat full?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They're not blocking off middle seats anymore?
They are not, unfortunately. Okay. And which,
all right, go on.
That's a good lead into our story. So seats are filling up. And a lady sits down next to me. And so I'm like, all right, whatever, it's fine. I'm just hoping nobody sits in the middle seat. And so then as the seats are filling up, they make another announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're still currently boarding, look to your left, look to your right. That middle seat is yours. There are no more window and aisle seats.
Oh, you're on that airline. All right, I got you.
Yeah, you know what it is.
I hate that airline. Unless they want to advertise on our show.
It's relatively convenient. But no, so a guy comes over and is like, hey, excuse me, can I sit here? But instead of getting up and letting him sit in the middle, the lady moves to the middle. I'm like, well, that's strange, but it's none of my business. I'm going to put my headphones on. Put my headphones on. And I could tell this lady was like nervous. Like her leg was bouncing. And like when you're sitting with people, especially somebody in that middle row, like you're kind of like, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm like sitting, trying to sit like as small as I can to give somebody appropriate like room. So we're not all up on each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this tight plane. And so we start to roll towards the runway. And as we're rolling towards the runway, this lady's like arm is moving. Her leg is shaking. I'm just like, dude, what is going on here? And then so then I'm listening to my music and she taps me on my shoulder and she's like, hey, excuse me. Would you mind putting your arm next to mine when we take off? Because my anxiety is acting up really bad. I was just like, yeah, sure. No problem. And so
you're probably cool with that, right? I mean, you're a compassionate person. I'm sure you totally
know for sure
in that situation.
And so then,
was she white?
No.
Okay.
Black lady.
All right. Okay.
Black lady.
All right, I feel better about the situation now.
Tony.
Look, man, in 2021, you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
I doubt that Russ thinks. I can't believe we're entertaining this because I doubt that Russ thinks about that. Russ probably, knowing Russ, Russ sees a person who is struggling in some way and cares about them, and would probably, his first thought is probably that he would help this person.
It depends, man.
Your first thought is what? That Jordan Peele's making a movie about this?
My first thought is this safe for all parties involved?
You're on an airplane.
Well, so here's the thing, Tony. So I was just like, I don't want, like, I know how people suffer with anxiety. So I'm just like, I don't want her to freak out. So if all I need to do is put my arm here, yeah, that's fine. I can do that. And she said it was like just on takeoff. So as we're rolling to the gate, like, she's still struggling. My arm's right there. And when you get that, ladies and gentlemen, we've been cleared for takeoff, and the plane starts going really fast.
Yeah.
She just goes, oh my God, and grabs my arm. And then I'm looking like, ma'am, I don't mean you no harm, but that's my arm. And then she grabs my hand, and like, she's squeezing my hand as we're taking off. And then I'm like, I didn't snatch away, because I'm like, all right, she's clearly having a tough time.
Yeah.
But I don't have anywhere to go, and I don't know this lady. And so I'm holding her hand.
Was there someone on the other side of her that she could have asked?
Instead, oh, that brother was asleep. That brother was knocked out.
Or, so, well,
yeah,
he looked like he was asleep. Maybe he's just smarter than you.
Yeah, maybe. And so we're in the air. She's squeezing my hand. She like can't. So she's looking down. Her eyes are closed. She like saying prayers. Like, she is going through it. Yeah. And so I look over, and I could see how freaked out she was. And so then in my head, I'm thinking, I'm like, is this weird, man? Yes, because this lady I've never met before is holding my hand. But then I thought about it and I said, this is somebody's mom. And if my mom was on a flight and she was freaked out, I'd want somebody to hold her hand.
Yes, absolutely.
So then as the plane levels out, I look at her and I say, or it's beginning to level out. And sidebar, the pilot that was driving or was flying this plane, he was driving it like a Camaro. Like, he was whipping that thing. Like, you know how normally when
that's,
the plane,
that's that airline, man.
You know, when the plane usually banks to like turn slightly and the plane goes on the side. This man had this joint almost 75 degrees. And so I couldn't, there was nothing I could do. Like, I was
the thinking, Fast and the Furious of flight.
I'm scared too. So you need to be holding my hand also. So as it's starting to level out at 10,000 feet, I look at her and I say, do you want me to hold your hand the whole flight? And she's like looking down. She was like, yes, please. I was like, all right, I got you. I try to calm her down. So she says her name is Lucky. I say, my name is Russell. And we just start talking, and come to find out she's a nurse and a life coach. And she said it was her first time flying since the pandemic happened. And she had seen so much loss, and she had lost people herself personally, where like just the idea of getting on a plane with so many people was like nerve wracking for her.
Yeah.
But we had a great conversation. We talked the entire flight, and to the point where she wasn't even thinking about the flight anymore, which was great. The funny part is, as we're getting into Atlanta, like, the planes is starting to you know, get closer to the airport. And we're once again banking, where the brother turns that thing 75 degrees. She grabs my hand again, not as hard as she did when we took off, but still relatively hard. And so I said, we're fine. Like, we're almost there. Like, we're around the corner. But some goofy kid goes, oh my God, the plane's going down. I'm like, kid, shut up. What is wrong with you? But I was just
didn't
like,
did you get arrested for doing that?
But not for a kid. You know how kids get. They just
start a child, you mean? Okay. Like a young child. Okay.
Yeah, a young child was just like, oh my gosh, the plane's going down.
Oh, he meant like the plane is moving downwardly.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
I don't know. You know how kids get. Like, he might think the plane's actually crashing. So in my mind, I'm like, kid, shut up. Like, this lady is, we'd gotten her settled, and now you're gonna freak her out again. I said, don't listen to that kid. Like, we're good. And we land. And she was like so nice and so sweet. And she was so thankful. she was just like, I don't know if you know anybody in Atlanta or if you're doing anything, but I want to take you to dinner because you were so awesome. And like, so I got in Atlanta, got my stuff, went to the hotel, and like we had dinner last night and it was so great. And it was somebody I just randomly met on a plane who was freaking out. And I didn't feel like I did anything, but let her borrow my hand for 75 minutes.
That the part where you go to dinner is where I feel like you're taking a risk. Everything up until then, I think I would probably do the same. At that point, I'm not saying you did the wrong thing or anything like that, but at that point, you're taking a little bit of a gamble.
I didn't feel, you know, you gauge situations.
That's
like
what
that.
I'm wondering is how you thought that through.
I looked at her as like a mom.
Yeah.
And so I felt comfortable saying, sure, I will gladly go to dinner and feel like I've been in situations where I'd be like, yeah, I probably would have said no, but I felt comfortable enough in that one to be like, yes. And it worked out. And she was so nice.
Tony, you'd have done none of that. I'm assuming based on your people can't see this, but Tony's body language has been, let's see, I would say disapproving.
Yeah, man. I don't like strangers touching me.
I'm with you.
Who does? No, nobody does. Yeah. Russ didn't ask for that. Yeah, Russ wasn't like, hey, sit here and grab my arm the whole flight.
Yeah, as a general rule, it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I just want to avoid any confusion of anything. So the best way to do that is just don't touch people.
Confusion like you being with that person?
Anything. Anything. I just want to avoid everything.
I'm never going to see these people again. So I wasn't worried about that.
Until you do.
Until it's just like, dude, I don't care about that. In my mind, when it happened, I'm just like, all right, this lady's clearly freaking out. And there were a lot of little kids on this flight. And so if she starts freaking out, they're going to start freaking out. Then we're going to have a way bigger issue on our hand with a whole plane of kids freaking out on this. So I'm just like, if I could keep somebody calm and all she did was like hold my hand, I'm like, she had hand sanitizer. We got off the plane, but it was like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm just like, okay, I don't want this person to feel like they're alone on this flight.
I want to put Tony in your seat right now. Okay, I want to know what really is going to happen here. Don't you, Russ? Or like, wouldn't you be fascinated by Tony in this exact same experience with his?
No, but I'm at least willing to hear what he has to say.
Well, I mean, you did the right thing. Now we'll find out what the Tony thing would be. Oh, Tony, you're sitting next to this woman. You have no idea why she's traveling. She's clearly not a frequent flyer. I hope for her sake she's not, because that doesn't seem like that would work very well. She could be flying to Atlanta for any number of reasons. And from the jump, she's on edge. She's nervous. And she asks you.
No, wait. Before we get there. Excuse me, Miss Flight Attendant, is there any other open seats?
For you or for her?
For me.
Okay, so you're out.
Yeah.
You have no interest in assisting this fellow human being get through this flight for who knows what reason she has to be there.
I don't want to sit next to anybody on a plane that's nervous.
Because you are or what?
No.
You just don't want to deal with it. You can't be bothered.
Yeah. It's Friday. Maybe it's me, you know, maybe she's nervous because it's me, but hey, you know, is there any more open seats?
Tony, at this point, there were no open seats.
Mm. Okay.
So
that's not even the point. No, it's not. That is so not the point.
Because he was going, oh, if there's another open seat, can I change seats? Like, by the time she grabbed my arm, we were moving towards the runway.
That's not my ideal flight experience, but sometimes that's what you got to do. And I saw one time when, since we're telling stories that make us look good, there was one time I was flying back from covering a Heat game in Charlotte, and I saw this guy in the, what do you call the area, like in the airport, but right before you get on, is that like almost like a lobby? I can't, at the desk.
At the gate.
At the gate. Thank you. I don't know why I was drawing. I guess I was drawing a blank on that because I haven't flown in over a year. But there was a guy and he's just crying. He's in line. He's surrounded. His family is there, which I don't know how they got there, because I don't think you're supposed to be able to. This is a kid probably like close to maybe looked like 20, 17 to 20. So not a child by any means. But there's people there with him. He's just crying. And I'm like, man, what's going on with this guy? And then I felt this conviction of like, all right, I have to sit by this guy and talk to him and see how he's doing and see what's wrong with him and see if I can like help him a little bit. So you're doing the opposite, Tony. You're not giving up your seat to go sit by. You're getting as far away from that as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I saw that even before getting on the plane, I really consider, hey, is there another flight possible?
Is there another flight?
Another flight.
Yeah. This dude is ridiculous. All right. Yeah.
Tony's I don't even want to go to Atlanta. I'll go wherever you've got.
I don't need that energy on a plane. Like, I just don't. Like,
Tony.
Just don't touch me, man. That's like if we were in a high pressure situation like that, literally high pressure. Because yes. Everybody's trapped in a can. Just don't freak out.
I think the problem is that you freak out on an airplane.
If something is weird. If everybody is sitting.
I think you're not comfortable flying on an airplane is the real issue. Because I know you to be a nice person and a compassionate person.
Yeah.
But I think you're a little thrown off just being on a plane since you don't really do that very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody just calm down. That's it. That's all I ask. I don't ask for a lot. Just shut that baby up. And everybody calm down.
Shut that baby up. Okay. All right. That, not as easy as you think, by the way. That is something that before you have a kid, you're super annoyed by hearing another person's kid, baby, cry on an airplane or seeing another person's child misbehave on the flight or something like that. And then once you have a baby, you're like, oh, all right, that's not necessarily something you can control, especially with an infant.
Ugh.
I had one of my kids. We were flying to Dubai. So this was like...
You went to Dubai?
A long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah, when Grace was like one.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Dubai, and it's like a 12-hour, 15-hour overnight flight. Mm. And I don't sleep well in general, especially can't sleep on a plane or anywhere other than like a bed, basically. Mm-hmm. So I took something that was going to help me fall asleep. But I waited. I'm like, I'm sitting here on this flight and they dim the cabin. Everybody wants to sleep.
This Xanax. Is a
12-hour overnight flight. I don't remember what it was. Mm. I don't remember what it was. It was something.
The hard stuff.
Something that was going to help me sleep.
Lean.
Stop. I don't think you can get that through TSA or customs. But I've got my one-year-old daughter and I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait till she falls asleep. And then I'm going to take something that's going to help me fall asleep. And so... That happened, and then less than an hour after I fell asleep, my daughter wakes up screaming and crying. I don't know if she's one, somewhere around that. Mm-hmm. She was walking, so she had to have been at least one, just screaming and crying. And I'm like in a fog because I've taken some kind of medication or something to help me fall asleep, and I'm just like trying to like fight through this haze, this metaphorical haze that I'm in, and my kid is screaming, and everybody on the plane is... furious about this. And I am a parent that tries really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a kid stop crying. They're going to do that at that age.
Hey, it's Jason. Thanks for listening to this episode. We appreciate you guys. And we just want to shout out real quick our sponsor, BetUS. You can go to betus.com.pa and you can bet on everything from the NFL, NBA, hockey, college football and basketball, horse racing, and much more. And they've got a promo deal going for our listeners right now. If you use the code SPORTSADJACENT, all one word, you get a 125% sign-up bonus. That means you put $100 into your account, and they will kick you an extra $25 to get you started. Some lines in the NFL this week that are interesting. Thanksgiving Day, first game of the week, you have Bears favored by 3.5 at the Lions. The Lions are so bad right now. If you saw their quarterback, Tim Boyle, the backup, made his first start Sunday, and it was a disaster. They're winless. There's no way the Bears can go there and blow that game. The Panthers, with Cam Newton at quarterback, are favored by 1.5 at the Dolphins. The Falcons are -1 at the Jaguars. And Rams at Packers. I like all the road teams, really, this week, I feel like. The Rams at the Packers, a huge game in the NFL. That's a pick 'em game.
Rams have looked more convincing to me thus far than the Packers. The one home team I like is the 49ers, favored by 3 at home against the Vikings. I don't know what it would ever take for me to be convinced by the Vikings. I don't think that they're a good team or that they're going to win a road game against the 49ers. And then Monday night, Seahawks at Washington football team. That game is pick 'em too, and Seattle is absolutely desperate. They are the one team in the NFC toward the bottom of the conference that could still make a run because they've got Russell Wilson back. It hasn't clicked for them in the first couple games since he returned, but I feel like he eventually is going to get them going again. So you can look at those games and others for this week in the NFL. And don't forget to use promo code SPORTSADJACENT, all one word, to get that 125% sign-up bonus. Again, go to betus.com.pa, and you can find everything you want as far as sports betting.
We've recorded our entire show during the pandemic. So, but sometimes we refer back to the pandemic as though it was past tense because it feels like there's been different stages of the pandemic. Yeah. There was like peak pandemic. There was the beginning of this where no one knew anything about what was going on, except Tony, that they had canceled the rest of the NBA season. So then we knew it was serious.
Yeah.
In this next episode, we get into Russ has a very vivid and elaborate social life. Should I call it social life?
Is that right? Okay. One that will make every single one of us jealous.
Okay. And Tony was very curious, as probably most people were. How did he continue? How did Russ continue that vibrant social life amid lockdown?
How'd you get friendly with the ladies, Russ?
What did you say, Tony?
So how'd you get friendly with the ladies doing that?
Oh, it's just like visiting another country, Tony. You gotta have proof of a negative test.
You know, yeah. So how during the pandemic, you're asking?
Yeah.
I don't want to. All right. So it's one of those situations where you kind of pick and choose. And I think for the first part of the pandemic, I was super cautious. I'd say all the way up until May, June. And then I'm just like, you know, I'm going to get some.
Happened in March, April, May comes around. Yeah. And then I need to be bumping ugly.
No. Russ is ripping these people that wanted the country open from day one, and Russ was ready. Russ was open for business after 2 months.
Open for business. Shut up. First of all, it sounds more careful than I'm necessarily making it sound. So I was getting tested frequently during this period, so I knew I didn't have COVID, and I was like getting antibody tests too. So while I was like interacting with women, right, it would be, hey, I'd love to go and hang. I've tested negative for COVID and everything else.
And everything else. Oh wow, you got a full board of tests there, huh?
I mean, I think adults should get tested regularly. I think that's smart. I don't think that's not normal at all. But this is the topic at hand. I'm like, yo, I have a negative COVID test. Do you? Yes. All right, cool. Let's go ahead.
Do they have a box you can check for that on the dating apps now? Like vaccinate, like on Bumble, can you filter it to only get vaccinated people or?
People put it in their profiles now.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And by hang, I actually mean like hang out. Tony, don't do that.
Tony, nobody can. Again, this is a podcast. Tony.
Unless this is the part.
Nobody can hear you making hand motions. Yeah, Tony's making all kinds of fun hand motions that you guys can't hear.
First of all, Tony, you went on a date too during the pandemic, so don't just put it on me like it's just me out here.
I didn't.
I went on a date.
What's the difference between one and how many ever I went on?
Because I ended up making that person my girlfriend for 4 months.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
You did. We never talked about it, and I never brought it up. But Jason, I want you to think about this moment. And when you joke on me, Tony made somebody his whole girlfriend during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive. What's bad about that? Yeah. How do you pull? I'm sitting there like, wow, how'd you pull that off?
Bumble. Same way I do.
Actually, it was Bumble. Yeah.
We should see if we can get them to be a sponsor. We've been doing ads for them without really realizing it for 10 weeks.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to get on that. I'm going to start making some calls.
This feels like a time where we should probably reiterate that Russ is not here today because he is giving turkeys for Thanksgiving to people in need.
All the meats. Everybody needs the meats.
No. Come on. No. We're trying to do damage control for that segment, man.
Love you, Russ.
You have to say that like three times an episode.
I do.
Yeah. Your friendship with him has been a string of apologies.
Hey, you know, different friendships have different dynamics. You know, I step over the line, I apologize, he says my apology, and then we do it all over again, you know? Yeah.
Has he had to apologize to you for one thing in the 2 years or whatever it is, 1 year you've been friends with him?
Probably not.
So those apologies are going one way. All right. Our next segment, we had a guest. We had Cam Ellis, who is a friend of the show.
Yeah.
I know you're a big Cam Ellis fan. Huge. You guys go pretty far back with NBC, and now Cam's over at The Score. And I love having Cam on. He adds a totally different element. He is one of the most underrated funny people in Chicago sports media to me.
Yes.
And I don't know why I say he's underrated. I guess probably just because he has like a low Twitter following. And I know that's not a good gauge.
Yeah.
It is a very understated style of humor. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate Cam Ellis' humor. I read Cam Ellis' tweets, or I hear Cam Ellis on a podcast. He used to be on the NBC podcast with JJ, and they were really a good fit together. And that, I hear him and think, like, that guy's funnier than me. I wish I could be as funny. I wish I had as funny of a brain and as quick of a mind like that as Cam Ellis. But Cam Ellis was on with us, and we talked zoos. I don't know if it really needs any more explanation than that. Here's Russ, Tony, me, talking zoos with our buddy Cam Ellis.
I spent part of my weekend taking my kids to Lincoln Park Zoo, which was an interesting experience. We had a fun time, but I'm kind of losing it with zoos. I'm kind of losing interest in them because most of what you're looking at there, Russ, it's either like some raggedy looking camel, or they've got 19 different things that are all some version of a pig. It's like a shaggy pig or a spiky pig. And then in the rare chance that you happen to see an actual cool animal, it's doing nothing. You'll see a lion or a gorilla or even a giraffe, and it's just standing there or laying there taking a nap. It's not like, what's the point? There's nothing there that I really want to see at this point that I couldn't see on planet Earth.
What I'm about to say, I think is going to make Tony really happy. So this is my thought about the zoo and aquariums for that matter. Yeah. As a kid, they're great. And I even still enjoy going to Shedd Aquarium because I think it's awesome. But you don't realize until you're like 16, 17, 18 years old, these animals are in captivity and we're just okay with it. Yeah. And we're paying $45 a pop to see some animals that are somewhere they don't want to be.
And like out of their mind crazy because of it, just like pacing across their like a tiny square inch of spacing just because that's all they do all day. It's so dark. They're so dark.
Cam, if you're lucky, they're doing that. So you at least can see them walking around. Otherwise, they're just laying there depressed.
Yeah.
It's like they know they wouldn't make it in the wild.
Zoos are a dark place, man. Once, well, like we must have already said, like once you realize that, like it's not, this probably shouldn't exist at all in any scenario. Like, why are there elephants in Washington, D.C.? Like, there was never a need for elephants in Washington, D.C. or whatever animal you want to say. Like, they're a really dark place.
And then when you realize, like, they can never go back into the wild.
Right.
Because
they were never in the wild.
Well, yeah, they got taken out.
They're bred in captivity, like, over years. They're not legally allowed to take animals out of the wild for zoos.
So you can breed like lions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What?
And there's animals that are that basically over time they've never been exposed to their natural environment. So they wouldn't know what to do in there any more than you or I would.
No, I don't like that, man. That's bad.
I do think if we're going to go that far to put them on display, And like, you know, these animals got to eat. I mean, what would be the harm in letting us watch that at least? At least like turn a goat loose in the lion's cage and tell people when it's going to happen and everything, like on Jurassic Park.
Like, or, and then like put a public service announcement, like, hey, this is something gruesome is about to happen. Like they do on the news, like viewer discretion is advised.
There you go. Yeah.
And also like they just die real fast, way faster than they should. It's like, it's really dark, but they do. They just die fast.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
Why is that so hilarious to you, Russ?
Because I think it's just like, they're so stressed in there. It's just like, bro, it's a wrap. I'm out of here.
It can't be worse than the Lincoln Park Zoo. So I'm out of here. See you later.
Also, Brookfield Zoo, way better than Lincoln Park Zoo for next time.
Well, but Lincoln Park Zoo is free. And that's the dad move here, where I took my kids to go do an activity for 4.5 hours in the city that was free.
So you wanted to be cheap.
I am cheap about things that I feel like I can be cheap about. So if I can go to one zoo for nothing or another zoo for $40 a pop, I'm going to go to the free zoo.
And free zoos in terms of value versus entertainment you get at, like that is as good, as much entertainment as you're paying for, or not, excuse me, like you're getting the most bang for your buck going to a zoo because you're not actually paying for it. And you're seeing like wild animals that again, shouldn't be there. But like, that's pretty wild to think about, that you just go get to see elephants and tigers for free. Also, yeah, like, should that be the case?
Yeah, go be happy seeing depressed animals.
Yeah, there's that.
The most entertainment I got was we were watching some rhinoceri. I don't know how you say it, but I got to listen to this mom loudly and very, you know, free thinkingly debate with herself in front of her kids whether the rhinos were male or female, until she finally screamed out, "Oh, there's its it's a man."
I bet that happens like 4 times a day at the zoo. I bet people
like four little kids
all the time.
You think that's what everybody's doing in their head, or that's what people are yelling out? Oh, look, there's a.
That's a wild thing to say around kids, man.
Well, now the kids know male or female rhinoceros, at least. I've got my kids there, like hoping they don't ask me about it. And certainly,
I would hope you don't say that to Anna and Greg.
No, apparently another parent was happy to step in and say that for all the kids within earshot.
What if the deed's being done by the animals? How do you explain that?
You just say, hey, let's go get some ice cream.
What a parent move.
I was just having that conversation again with a friend this past week, though, about how zoos would be better. That's probably how they do zoos in some countries. That's probably how zoos are in Dubai, where they tell you when the feeding's going to be. I feel like if you got to feed that lion a goat anyway, you might as well tell people when it's going to be, like in Jurassic Park. I'm like, you know, the people that want to be real clear about that, this is going to happen at 4:30. And so the people that want to see it can make sure they're there. And the people that don't want to see a lion chase down a goat and eat it can make sure that they're not there. This would make zoos better.
Would it though? It's like, what do these people think they eat?
I want to watch it.
It's like, are they under the assumption that they eat clouds or air?
No. I don't understand what you're asking.
I'm saying, like, what's the downside of seeing an animal do what you do as a human?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Eat? I want to see it chase down a goat. And even though that's not going to be much of a chase, I want to see it chase down a goat and do its thing. And plenty of people aren't going to want to see that just because it's gruesome. And that's why I'm saying, let everybody know when it is. And the people that want to see that can come see it, which I'd be there.
I think a better would be warning if he's like, hey, it's mating time. And then that's what you prepare.
Because a lot of people would want to see that? Okay.
You could charge extra.
Right. You have so many weird ideas.
Bye. Hey guys, it's Russ here to give you my BetUS picks for the week. First game, I'm starting with the Tennessee Titans against the New England Patriots. The Patriots are flying high right now, are one of the best teams in the AFC. Who would have thought? But Tennessee's at 6.5, and I think that's pretty good value. I think they're going to stay in that game. It's probably going to be a defensive battle. So Tennessee plus 6.5, I think it's good value. Next game, Steelers against the Bengals. Total for the game, 45. I'm taking the over. Steelers coming off a week where they put up a lot of points against the Chargers. Bengals obviously have a high-powered offense as well. Going to be a lot of high-flying offenses. Last but not least, Chargers against the Broncos.
points total for that game is 48. I'm taking the over. Obviously, the Chargers can score a lot of points, and I think the Broncos are going to be playing from behind all game. So take the over in that game. You should be in a really good spot. Make sure you log on to BetUS.com. Use our promo code SPORTSADJACENT to get a 125% sign-up bonus when you put in a minimum of $50. Good luck with your bets.
We have another segment with a guest coming up, Billy Gill from the Levitard Show.
Yes,
Billy. One of your personal favorites.
Yes.
You were so excited. I don't know when I've ever made you happier than when I told you Billy Gill was going to join us.
As they're about to find out, like, me and Billy Gill are kindred spirits.
Yeah. Russ made the point, though, that it was like having two Tonys on the show.
Yes. It's my favorite thing that we've done so far is have two of me's on the Sports Edition podcast.
So when we have Billy on, we play a game here where it's called, I think it's called What Would Billy Do? Or some version where we present Billy with difficult social situations and find out what Billy Gill would do.
Billy, you have been surprisingly good, exceeded my expectations by far. But we do have one game we want to play with you before we let you go. Are you up for a round of a new game called What Would Billy Do?
Ooh.
Go ahead, Tony.
No. Don't be a sucker.
It's time to put one of the most decisive men on the clock.
I don't think I'm a deceitful person.
It's time to find out what would Billy do.
We can ask Tony to build out an intro for a segment we want to do for like a month, and he won't. But Billy's first time on here, he has an intro with clips, sound bites, and it sounds great. Congrats, Tony! Like, you did a really good job. But I'm a little upset.
I mean, to my credit, like, I did take a risk with this. Like, he could potentially sue us for using clips of the Dan Levitard show.
Yeah, obviously.
And you guys always get on me on that, so I did like have a tough time with this. So, but I think it turned out pretty good.
Tony is our producer that should know like laws and stuff.
Yeah,
sound usage. But he'll just be like, I mean, nobody will sue us. We're not that big, right? And then, Tony, that's not how it works. People will sue us.
Not if you say it with confidence, though.
We're the lovable underdog, Tony thinks.
Yeah. Is it weird that I'm oddly nervous for a game that it seems like I can't possibly fail at because it's just what would I do? But yes. I still feel like I'm going to do it wrong.
It is weird. All you have to sit there and think, as I often do, what would I do in this situation? And then I do that thing. We're going to give you six awkward social situations or scenarios that are real from our lives and find out from you what we should have done. Russ, go ahead.
All right. So, first things first, Billy. So I've, as a baseball writer, I travel all over the country and I'm on a flight every week. So I've had two separate instances of crazy interactions. So the first, I on a flight to Atlanta, from Chicago to Atlanta, I had a lady who sat next to me freak out upon takeoff and grabbed my hand and held my hand from the trip from Chicago to Atlanta. Now, I will say I did, because I saw her freaking out and I saw she was having a hard time, I asked her, would you like me to hold your hand during the flight?
You were compassionate.
I was trying to be compassionate. So in that case with you, Billy, you see somebody freaking out upon takeoff and then grabs your hand. What does Billy do? Oof.
Are we talking like grandmother age person?
Like mom age.
Mom age. And had no family or anything there.
Is each one of these going to take like 17 minutes?
Probably. I'm really bad at hypotheticals.
Great.
I would say, would I hold this person's hand? How recent was this? How long ago was this?
It was in April.
Okay. So like this is when we're still wearing masks and not touching each other.
Yes.
But she did tell me I have hand sanitizer because she's a mom.
Yeah.
Are you holding this person's hand through the flight to calm their anxiety, Billy? Yes or no?
What are you wearing?
Oh, my gosh.
I think I'd pull my sleeve down and maybe hold hands through sleeves. Can we do that?
I have a t-shirt on.
Oh, okay. No.
Hold hands through sleeves. That's what we got.
Yeah.
It's good enough. It's good enough. Gosh, you're worse than Tony. All right, Billy, number two. What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Mia.
All right, let's say Mia is much older now, like 5 or 6 years old. You take her, you're out, she has to use the bathroom, she uses a public restroom, comes out, and you discover that she has stepped in human feces. There's human feces on Mia's shoe. What do you do?
I mean, do we have plans later that day?
Billy, geez.
I'd like to think, depending on 5 or 6, so she's already going to use these shoes. Like, she's already walking, and these are actual shoes, not like decorative shoes.
Yes.
Oh, man, human feces. I think I'd get a glove, right? Like, I'd try to go home, I think. Well, how would I get her in the car? I don't want to just throw the shoe away, right? That seems like a thing where you're like, you know what? Done with these shoes. We need to move on. But shoes are expensive, and I'm not one. I'm kind of like, I'm a relatively thrifty guy, so I don't think I'd just throw away my daughter's shoes. I'd probably look to get some sort of bag or something plastic to put it in, and then get gloves, and then when I get home, hose it off, I think.
Okay, so you're trying to save those shoes that have some other person's poop on them. I asked my daughter where they came from. She said Walmart. I threw them away.
Immediately?
Oh, yeah. They're probably $7. They're in the trash.
Goodbye. Okay, so $7 shoes is different. Like, that's a factor here. If I could kind of get rid of the situation for $7, I may throw them away. But what did you do after, if you don't mind me asking? I know it's slowing down the game.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we get home. Doesn't matter.
We're not, so you went home.
Shoes are not sticking around. We're gone.
So your daughter wasn't walking around barefoot like the rest of the day?
No. No, there were other shoes available at a certain point.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys
Tony, your shoes? Turn.
All right, so my scenario is your friend invites you to his house for lunch and serves you a mayo sandwich and says, man, you got to try this. What does Billy do?
Russ is losing it. You can't say mayo sandwich around Russ anymore. Go ahead, Billy.
Was this... I'll tell you what I would do, but then I have some follow-up questions.
Of course you do.
I don't like mayo. I'm not like a big mayo person. Like, I think that would be... What kind of bread was it? Not that it matters, because I'd be horrified either way. Like, if it was just mayo, I don't know why. I just don't... I don't know if it's the texture or what it is about mayo that I just don't like.
Some people like mayo, some people don't, but nobody except Tony likes mayo sandwiches. That's disgusting, even if you like mayo.
It is not. I enjoy...
Taking a bite of that, Billy? You're going to eat half of it politely? Or what's your plan here with the mayo sandwich?
Do I know it's a mayo sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's proud of it. Do you do this often? Like, you have people come over and you're like...
That was my question to him, too.
Wouldn't it be impolite for me not to offer one of life's greatest sandwiches?
Then you're putting these people in an uncomfortable situation where, like, you view it as impolite to not offer them a mayo sandwich, right? Or not make them a mayo sandwich. Where then the person has to not be impolite and they have to try to eat it at least, right? Where it's almost better not to offer anything than offer a mayo sandwich that you're kind of forcing someone to awkwardly accept, right?
Yes.
Well, you disagree, obviously.
So your answer is you flip this around on the host. The host has put you as the guest in a very uncomfortable position, and I agree with you. Russ, you're up.
I think I'd sneak it. I think I'd like pretend to eat it, but like sneak it into napkins or like, and then my pockets would just be filled with like mayo sandwich. And then it's like, how do I clean this? I don't like letting people down. It's weird.
Tell. No, please let Tony down on that.
Well, has he ever offered you guys mayo sandwiches?
We didn't know he did it until last week, but I hope he wouldn't. As his friend, like, do that to your enemy, not us. Who care about? This scenario happened to me like 2 weeks ago, Billy. So I'm on a flight from Chicago to LA. And on this flight, I'm trying to do work, write a story. And a larger gentleman, about 6'4", 240, tattoos on the face and neck, who's sitting in the middle seat, falls asleep on my shoulder. Mm. Now, I had a decision to make. Do I wake this hulking figure up who could do me bodily harm?
Do
I live and let him sleep on my shoulder?
Well, you're alive, so I think I know what decision I made.
Smart guy, Billy. I'm a smart guy.
I think you know what I would do? I think I'd try to like create somewhat of a commotion, but not enough of a commotion where like the secret like air marshal like had me like sequestered in the back. Yeah. Like, I think I'd be like, well, oh no, actually, you know what? I wouldn't be coughing on an airplane right now.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be doing that.
But maybe I just like oh man, because that's like the go-to when you want to kind of do a disruption. You do like a fake cough, or you just kind of like clear your throat. But I feel like now if you're doing that on planes, like you're getting worse looks than anything else. So like maybe you turn the air on, like make it really cold on their face, or like try to like, you know what you should have done? You should have just kind of like shouldered the head. But then like as they like pop up, like you just go to sleep like immediately like on the
So that's what I did. So I pretended really? Like I was asleep and like kept creeping over to like push him up.
Yeah.
And at the perfect time, the plane turned. And he leaned over, woke up, and like, oh my Perfect. God, sleeping on a dude for 3 hours. Let me scoot over here.
So that's it took you 3 hours to resolve the situation.
Yes.
Wow.
We were damn near in LA.
Yeah.
We were over like Vegas or something. Like we were almost there.
Number five, Tony.
So my next one is you're on 17 different podcasts, but none of them truly let you speak your mind. They're always saying things like, that's completely inappropriate, even for our show. And no, Tony, that will get us canceled. What does Billy do?
I mean, I think that the only option you have is you start a podcast. Maybe you call it Baby Adjacent, and mm-hmm. you do a podcast about children and babies and mm-hmm. what your nieces or nephews are up to. Mm-hmm. I just keep creating more podcasts, right? Like, if you're on 17, what difference does it matter if you're on 19 at that point?
Yeah, I agree.
I think that is what he's doing too.
But at the same time, though, if 17 people are telling you the exact same thing,
thank you.
Like maybe, I'm not saying 100% sure because I don't know the specifics because this is a hypothetical. Maybe the 17 people kind of might have a point, but also like, how many things in life were discovered or invented where they told the person, you'll never discover or invent this, or you're a crazy person, or you are inappropriate for thinking, you know what, we'll be on the moon or whatever.
That's how Rocky was made.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that at all for a fact.
I don't know if you heard it, but Russ said he actually is a crazy person. Yeah, please don't equate Tony to like Thomas Edison or something here.
Thomas Edison for sure got looks. Like, you have to assume, right? Like, with some of the stuff Thomas Edison was coming up with, like, you have to think that the neighbors were like, what is this guy up to now? Like, what are we doing right now?
It's not 17 people, by the way, Billy. It's literally every person he knows, everyone, except him. Last one for you, Billy. Your producer asks you to get a guest from a radio show you used to be on, but that person is the only one on the show you really didn't like.
Huh. So what would you, as the person that needs to make the request, would do? A good question.
Thank you, Billy. It was nice having you.
Oh, this is about me.
As you go back, if you re-listen to these, I don't think you're going to get it from this clip show, but if you go back and re-listen to the episode, you get to hear the evolution and the maturation of Tony as he becomes Anthony and it grows up a little bit.
A little bit. Not a lot.
I mean, I
still got to be me, man.
It had nowhere to go but up, I guess. Every episode we wrap up with all the news. There's just too much news in a week. We're a weekly show. If we were on every day, maybe we wouldn't need to do this. But there's so much news in a week that we have to get to it all. And it's very important. And I know that people count on us to get their news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know that like you have a lot of options out there, and I appreciate instead of you watching TV news or
incredible people
listening to NPR or reading the New York Times, you have come to us for your news, and we take that responsibility very seriously. So we wrap every show with a rundown of all the news that we might have not gotten to, like this past episode where we talked about Mike Tyson smoking poisonous toad venom. That's news you need to know. Anyway, here are three clips from the news roundup that were very important items that we needed to make sure you guys heard about.
There's hippo news too, Russ.
You sent this in the group chat, and I don't know if we should say
Well, you don't even know about all of it. I only taught you a little bit of it on this. So there are hippos in Colombia, which there are not supposed to be. Hippos are native only to Africa, I believe. But this is an invasive species of hippos in Colombia known as cocaine hippos because their population originated with Pablo Escobar buying four hippos in New Orleans. Of course, that's where you'd go to buy hippos. to live at his house in the 80s. And they have now reproduced so much that they're destroying the local ecosystem by reproducing too much. It's always hot boy summer for the hippos. And by eating things and by polluting water, the local waterways, with their toxic dumps.
Okay. You, that went differently in the group chat than it did there. And good job, sir.
Well, a lot of interesting information. And in my rabbit hole, I went down about hippos. I stumbled upon something that I think you're going to want to know and didn't know from American history. The 1910 American Hippo Bill.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
Another reading segment from the Tony Gill. This is from Wikipedia.
Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep repeating exactly what the imaging says? The whole point of the imaging is to set it up.
I gotta do it again. Come on, man. You know how this goes.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
Ah, guys, back with another reading segment where I, Tony Gill, read. All right, this is from Wikipedia, guys. In the U.S., Representative Robert F. Broussard of Louisiana introduced the American Hippo Bill in 1910 to authorize the importation and release of hippopotamus into the bayous of Louisiana. Broussard argued that the hippos would eat the invasive water hyacinth that was clogging the rivers and also produce meat to help solve the American meat crisis. Former President Theodore Roosevelt backed the plan, as did the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Washington Post, and the New York Times, which praised the taste of hippo as, quote, like cow bacon. The American Hippo Bill fell just short of being passed.
I don't know what cow bacon would be.
Jerky?
I'm not sure.
A herd of cows escaped a slaughterhouse. This is a jailbreak. This is like, you could make another Nick Cage movie and it could be about this. Maybe he'll play one of the cows. I think he could do it. And led the local deputies. This is near Los Angeles, if I didn't say that. Led them on a chase through streets. One cow got hit by a car, survived it, walked away. There were 40 cows on the loose, 38 recaptured. One was shot and killed, but one is still out there. One cow actually is on the lam.
So you said they escaped the slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
That's like being on death row and there's a door open on the way to the lethal injection.
It's unbelievable. Now, those cows that I kind of am torn, because I feel like those 38 cows that escaped and were recapped, I feel like they've earned it. Let them go. But on the other hand, I also like hamburgers. This would be another good time for Tony to do some reading. If you can please keep this tight, that'd be great. Tony, what was the official statement from the president of PETA about this event?
And now, Tony Gill reads.
All right, guys, glad to be back. Glasses Tony back in the building for a second time. Appreciate it. And this is the reading segment where I read.
Tony, you know we're short on time. Just read the thing, man. Just for once. You already did all this earlier in the show. You're doing the same bit over and over.
Now he's going to replay the thing.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
All right, guys. Glasses Tony is back. Appreciate you guys for bringing me back. Love the show.
Yeah, shut up.
This is from the president of PETA, Ingrid Newkirk. These cows, desperate bid for freedom, should have been recognized by moving them to a sanctuary where they could have bonded with other rescued cows, nursed their calves in peace, and lived out their lives just like you and I hope to do. PETA invites anyone who cheered their escape or mourned their deaths to extend that compassion to all cows and all other animals by going vegan.
What do you think, Russ? You giving up steaks?
I am planning on getting a 38-ounce ribeye from somewhere. So on that note,
that's my guy. Scientists discovered a species of dinosaur in Australia that's two stories tall and the length of a basketball court.
Okay.
And this is the part where I would, you know what? I'm going to do this. Tony, do your reading segment for this. I'm going to enjoy you trying to read this.
Yes.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
All right, from NPR. Australinotian. Coopernicus.
Don't hurt yourself, bro.
Is now a new species of a type of dinosaur called theropods, which had long necks and tails, as well as four legs and ate plants. The researchers say the new species is closely related to three other sauropods found in Australia that date to the same period. We found that Australotitan was the largest in the family, followed by Wintonotitan with big hips and long legs, whilst the two smaller sauropods, Diamantinosaurus and Savannosaurus, were shorter in stature and heavily set, said scientist Scott Hocknell.
Jason, you're mean for that.
He deserved it. Go take a break, Tony. And finally, Russ, Los Angeles is now overrun by peacocks, and you'll be fined $1,000 or get 6 months in jail for feeding them on the street.
I love how I always know the rundown's over when there's a an animal thing.
I wanted to add blanket, Russ's spirit animal.
That was from like 2 weeks ago.
But it was still so funny. It was still so funny, and it's so true.
It's so true. I don't know about that. Again, Russ is volunteering to help the underprivileged today. We should mention that. That's actually true. Someday that will end up on a best of episode.
Yes, I am looking
forward to it. I remember doing that segment and just sitting there watching you, knowing like this is any second. And Russ was thinking the same thing, and then it did. And all you, I don't know what you intended to say, but all you got out of your mouth was Russ. And he just lost it.
And that's the best part about our dynamic is we're slowly, well, we know what each other is thinking as each one of us is talking, as we're looking at each other. And that's the best part, is because like you guys know what's coming. It's cooking, you know, in my mind.
Right. It's simmering and it's not going to stay there. It's going to come out.
Yes.
And I have enjoyed because stop it. You could say that about literally anything, Tony.
Sorry, I'm a child.
You are. I have enjoyed watching Russ experience this, though, because I was friends with you for a couple of years before we started doing this show, and Russ has kind of been getting to know. I mean, I think he knows now, but over the course of the last 6 or 7 months, he has definitely gotten the full experience. And it is.
And so have our audience.
Yeah. For I was going to say for better or worse, but it's probably just for worse. Thank you for listening to Sports Adjacent. We hope you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving, and hope you enjoyed this show. Sports Adjacent, by the way, as always, is brought to you by BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. They have NFL, NBA, futures, all kinds of things you can bet on. And if you use promo code SPORTSADJACENT, that's all one word, you get a 125% sign-up bonus. So you put in $100, they'll give you $25 before you place your first bet. Thank you guys for listening. Please find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Where else can you find this podcast? Tony, am I getting all of them?
Did you say Apple?
That's right. That's the main place, right?
Yeah, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
a big one.
Definitely subscribe or follow or whatever the feature is on there to make sure that you get every episode, and give us a rating, give us feedback, reviews, things like that. I would love to see funnier reviews, because we would really enjoy getting to read some of those on the podcast. You can also email us those or tweet those at us, and any feedback on any past topics. If we get enough of those that we can pull a segment out of it, we would definitely not mind rehashing this. For Russ Dorsey, who is out again giving turkeys to underprivileged people to serve his community, like the good man that he is.
Solid man.
Don't. Don't comment right now.
Okay.
Don't chime in. Russ is doing a legitimately good thing. For Russ Dorsey, I'm Jason Leisure. Tony Gill, thank you for doing what you do, putting this together. Besmirching Russ left and right. No, thank you for that. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Love you, Russ. Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.